Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
It's time to play like a Jet
with your host, Scott Mason.
Play like a Jet. What does that mean?
Mekhi Becton, ladies and gentlemen, human beings that large should not run as fast as Mekhi Becton did. And if you like people just abusing other humans, the Mekhi Becton tape is for you.
Denzel Mims with another monster score of 70 yards.
Quick pass to Crowder, trying to get him out of space. Slows a tackle, and there he goes. It's a foot race, and Crowder is in there! A 69-yard touchdown. Takes a shot. Here's Corey Davis, wide open. Davis, still going, and he's in for the touchdown.
Hill hit immediately.
He got the handoff.
You know
and
that's
the Q-inator.
Oh, my gosh.
Listen, thank you.
From the PlayLikeAJet.com digital studios, this is Play Like a Jet. My name is Scott Mason. You can follow me on Twitter at PlayLikeAJet1. And it's time for part two of the weekend mailbag. So for that, we bring in the owner, the operator, the lead reporter, the whole shebang over at JetsInsider.com. And above all that, a very big deal, Mr. Chris Nimbley. So let's jump right back into the mailbag. Next question comes in from NY Jets Mikey J. He says, would you be more surprised if the Jets offense was top 10 or bottom 10? I'd be much more surprised if they were top 10. I think bottom 10 is probably more realistic. You have to remember, again, there are a lot of question marks on this offense, and we've gone through them. A lot of rookies, a lot of unprovens, particularly the quarterback. Now, if they're anything above bottom 10, then I think that that's a very promising sign because it most likely means a wide variety of the guys that Joe Douglas invested in the draft specifically, are paying dividends because we don't know what the Jets are going to get out of Michael Carter, particularly his rookie year. We don't know what they're going to get out of Zach Wilson. We don't know what they're going to get out of Elijah Moore. We don't know what they're going to get out of Elijah Vera Tucker. Even a guy like Denzel Mims is a bit of a question mark because he had his fair share of moments, but he was injured last year at points, and also it's not like he was a consistent producer. We have to see how Corey Davis fits in the offense. There's just a lot to figure out here. And so if they're a bottom 10 offense, I think that's sort of within the range of what you'd expect. If they're a top 10 offense, then they've way overshot expectations. So if you're asking me which is more likely, definitely more likely that they're going to be a bottom 10 than a top 10 offense.
Yeah, this isn't even close. This is easily, it's easily the bottom 10. And then everything you said, but also factor in that they get to play the Bills defense, the Dolphins defense, the Patriots defense twice with a rookie quarterback. I won't be surprised if they don't finish in the bottom 10. You know, if they finish in, you know, anywhere from like 16 to 20 like range, that wouldn't surprise me. But I'd be surprised. I'd be shocked and floored if they were a top 10 offense. I mean, absolutely floored by that. And yeah, if that was the case, then man, I don't want to be imagine what Jets fans are going to be like, because Jesus, is going to be a whole lot of crazy, irrational takes flowing off if Zach Wilson leads the Jets to a top 10 offense in his rookie year.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Play like a Jet. Play like a Jet.
Next question comes in from Michael Christopher. He says, do you think the AFC East has the best group collectively of head coaches compared to the rest of the divisions? Can you rank the eight divisions from 1 to 8 in terms of best to worst coaches collectively? So I thought, Chris, maybe what we could do here is real time, just talk about which coaches we think are good and which ones we think aren't, or which ones we think that the jury's still out, as we go coach by coach, division by division, and then we can kind of figure it out that way rather than going off the top of our head. So let's start with the Jets division. I think McDermott has proven himself. I think he's a good coach. Belichick, don't even need to say anything. He's the greatest coach in the history of professional football, so that is what it is. Brian Flores, we've seen some encouraging signs, but I'm still not entirely sure what to make of him. Looks reasonably good so far, but I need to see a little bit more. As far as Robert Saleh, completely unproven. So I think you've got one excellent coach, one really good coach, one guy who looks like he could be a good coach, and another where you have no idea what's going on. Do you think that that's a fair assessment of the coaches in the AFC East?
Yeah, that's a fair assessment. I'd probably be a little more favorite of Flores than you, but I think you got it pretty damn close.
Yeah, the only reason is because I need to see them get into the playoffs, see them do something in the playoffs before I can say for sure that he's an upper tier coach. Right now, like I said, I think he's done a pretty solid job, but I need to see a little bit more before I can make any definitive statements. So let's go through the rest of these divisions, Chris. We'll go through the NFC East. We'll start with Mike McCarthy. I think he's terrible. I think he did a terrible job last year. I thought he was exposed at the end in Green Bay, and so I would put him on the bad coaches list. I think Ron Rivera is a very good coach. I'd put him somewhere in the discussion with somebody like Sean McDermott, so I'd say he's somewhere on par there. The Eagles, we obviously have no idea what Nick Sirianni is going to be, so he's sort of out of this. And then Joe Judge, jury is out there with him. I think he showed some promising signs in his first year. There were some questions that a lot of people had with good reason, and so we'll wait to see there. So I think in the NFC East, what you have is one very good coach, one really bad coach, one complete unknown, and another one who the jury is still out on. Would you say that's fair?
That's all fair, but also none of them are even, I wouldn't even put any of them on McDermott's level.
Mm.
So they don't even get to number two on the AFC East list.
That's fair, although I would say that Rivera is a good coach, and obviously he took a team to a Super Bowl, so you have to give him some credit for that. But I could certainly see where you would argue that McDermott is a level above Rivera. But it's also, to me, arguable that they're comparable just based on the lengthy resume that Ron Rivera has. And I really think that Washington, if they can get themselves even average quarterback play with all the other pieces they have, they could be a very dangerous team, which is the first time in a long time that we've said that about them, right?
Yeah, I mean, really, since Doug Williams, I mean, they had the Robert Griffin year, but that was his rookie year. No one expected that year to come where it did. So, like, yeah, it's been a long time.
Now let's move over to the AFC West. You've got the Denver Broncos, that's Vic Fangio. You've got the Kansas City Chiefs with Andy Reid, the Raiders with John Gruden, and the Chargers with Brandon Staley. So everybody knows I love Brandon Staley, but he goes into the complete unknown category. I'm bullish on him, but until we actually see him as a head coach, there's no way that you can say anything about him. Andy Reid, one of the greatest coaches ever. He is elite, so obviously he's top of the line there, and he's an ace in that division. Gruden is interesting. I think Gruden is very middle of the pack. I truly believe that he gets too much credit for that Super Bowl that was won in Tampa Bay. Those were Tony Dungy's players, and remember, they were playing a Raiders team that they had intimate knowledge of because Bill Callahan didn't change the plays. I'm not saying Gruden is terrible, but I just think he's such an average-ish type of coach who gets pumped up just because of that Super Bowl ring. And then when you take a look at the Broncos, I love Vic Fangio as a defensive coordinator. Don't like him that much as a head coach. Wouldn't be surprised if this is his last year in Denver. So I would say that my overall valuation here is one elite coach with Andy Reid, one coach who's okay in John Gruden, one coach who is a complete unknown in Brandon Staley, and one coach who I would say is, if we're being charitable about it, below average in Vic Fangio. Would you say that's fair?
Absolutely fair. This division, you got Andy Reid, and then, you know, I like Fangio. You can do worse than Gruden, but this division is about Andy Reid, and that's it.
A lot of people are going to say I'm not giving Gruden enough credit, but I think if you look at a lot of the seasons that he's had outside of that Super Bowl win, he strikes me just so much as a guy who is a lot of bluster, and he'll get you decent results, but he's more of a, at best, like a Marty Schottenheimer type, but not even that, because Marty Schottenheimer's teams have winning records and went to the playoffs almost every year. They just didn't do a lot in the playoffs. With Gruden, it's been a bit of a bumpy ride the last bunch of years that he's been a coach, although obviously there was a huge gap between his last few years in Tampa and his last couple of years in Oakland. So if you want to bump him up from okay to good, I'm fine with that. That's the best I can do for him, though. I just don't think he's an elite coach. Now let's go over to the NFC West. You got the Arizona Cardinals with Cliff Kingsbury, the Rams with Sean McVay, the 49ers with Kyle Shanahan, and the Seahawks with Pete Carroll. This is interesting because I think you've got three guys that are excellent coaches. Kyle Shanahan, one of the best offensive minds. Sean McVay, same thing. And Pete Carroll, we know what his resume is. The problem here is Kingsbury. I liked what he did early on. He had a fresh approach. He seemed to liven up the offense. It took real guts to go out and get Kyler Murray a year after the team used the number 10 overall pick on a quarterback. But last year, we saw a lot of the things that ended up contributing to getting him fired from Texas Tech. Just no emphasis on the defense. Didn't seem to have any real kind of organized plan, and thought that talent was going to win out. And when Murray was hurt, he didn't really seem to know what to do. So I think Kingsbury's a guy that right now, jury's still out, but thus far I'd say below average. The other three are very good to excellent. So overall, this probably is, just from looking at it on paper, the best division in terms of overall coaching.
Yeah, this is the one. This is the only one that goes three deep. Because I'm with you on Kingsbury, but this is the only other one where you can get 3D for sure out of, you know, without using a rookie coach. So this is going to be the one that's challenging the AFC East. And then if you ask me to pit them against each other, I'm going to choose the AFC East because they have Bill Belichick in it, and that's that. But this is the one. This is the competition. You got McVay, you got Shanahan, and you got Pete Carroll. This is definitely going to be the one to challenge AFC East here.
Next division we will look at is the AFC South. You've got the Texans, the Colts, the Jaguars, and the Titans. So for the Texans, David Culley, rookie head coach, we have no idea what they're going to get out of him, so he's a complete unknown. I like what I've seen out of Frank Reich. I would say he's probably in that same category with Flores. If you want, you could give him a little bit of an edge because his team's been to the playoffs, but to be fair, better roster, I think, than what the Dolphins had. So I would say pretty similar to Flores. With the Jaguars, Urban Meyer, that's an interesting one because long track record as a head coach, but zero track record as an NFL head coach. So again, much like Culley, we have to count him as an unknown right now. And I think Vrabel has done a very nice job with the Tennessee Titans. I would say that he's probably right on par with Sean McDermott, or at least close. So I would say if we're talking about this from an overall perspective, you've got one solid coach in Frank Reich. You've got one good to very good coach in Mike Vrabel. And then you've got two unknowns in the Jaguars with Urban Meyer and the Texans with David Culley.
Yeah. I mean, David Culley and poor David Culley, because he could be the best coach ever, but this Texans team is going to be a mess. So he's not going to get a chance to show us if he's any good. Urban Meyer in the NFL, how's that going to work? I like Vrabel too. Vrabel gets the number one spot here, and I'm with you with Frank Reich. I probably like Flores a little bit more there, but they're comparable, and I wouldn't put up a fight if you wanted to say you'd have Reich a little bit above him. But yeah, so again, but you're still only talking two deep of even good to decent proven coach in this division.
And we head to the NFC South, where you have the Atlanta Falcons, the Carolina Panthers, the New Orleans Saints, Tampa Bay Buccaneers. You've got one excellent coach here in Sean Payton, no question about it. I think you could make a case that the same applies to Bruce Arians, who did a really, really good job in Arizona and then obviously just won a Super Bowl with the Bucs. I know that he had Tom Brady and a really good roster, but still, there were points in the season where things needed to be balanced, and it looked like the team wasn't going to be able to mesh the way that it ended up meshing in the end. So I think that Arians could very well be argued to be in the excellent category. And then after that, the jury's still out on Matt Rhule. Liked what I saw out of him last year, but not enough to make a definitive decision on what he's going to be as a head coach. And Arthur Smith with the Falcons, a complete unknown, clearly.
Yeah, I'm with you on Arians. I think he just sneaks into that excellent category. And it's one of these things. The Super Bowl win isn't what did it for me. It's largely about the staff that he puts together and how he empowers his staff. I think he does a great job with that. He's obviously a very smart offensive game planner as well. Over the past, I know Byron Leftwich was doing the heavy lifting there past year, but he has done great jobs in that in the past. So I'm with you there. And then of course, Sean Payton is there. Matt Rhule, he did a lot of good things. Him and Joe Brady last year, they got some positive going there, but we need to see more. So they got two great, great coaches, but they still just got two coaches there. Where again, the AFC East and the NFC West, they're going three deep.
Taking a look at the AFC North, we've got the Baltimore Ravens, the Cincinnati Bengals, the Cleveland Browns, and the Pittsburgh Steelers. So I think you've got two really good to excellent coaches in John Harbaugh and Mike Tomlin, both guys Super Bowl winners. You could certainly put them up there on the top tier. I don't know that I would say that they're in the Andy Reid category or that they're in the Bill Belichick category, but certainly you could say that they're right there with somebody like Sean Payton, Bruce Arians, and guys like that. So really, really strong coaching in this division when you also consider that Kevin Stefanski is there. And I know that he's only been the head coach of the Browns for 1 year, but he did an outstanding job with them last year, got them further than most people thought, got the most out of a roster that Freddie Kitchens botched the year before. Jury's still a little bit out on him because he could come back and regress, but as of right now, he's looked really good. The weak link here, of course, is Zach Taylor. This will be a make or break year for him, but I haven't really liked what I've seen out of him so far. To me, he's another one of those guys that just benefited from a connection to Sean McVay, where the league was looking for the next McVay, and so they were trying to hire anybody that ever had a cup of coffee with Sean McVay, and Taylor fell into that category. This is going to be, as I said, the make or break year. He's either going to help the Bengals elevate or he's going to get fired this year. So I would say that at best, he's a question mark right now. At worst, he's below average or even lower than that. The other three guys, I'm pretty bullish on, especially Harbaugh and Tomlin and Stefanski, even though it was 1 year, looks pretty good.
Yeah, I need to see a second year out of Stefanski. If we do the same question this time next year, I might be talking about this division over the NFC West even, or it, at least have them very comparable here. And yeah, that you could definitely make an argument for them being better, deeper than the AFC East. So maybe this time next year I'm going here, but for this immediate moment, because it was only 1 year of Stefanski, obviously Harbaugh and Tomlin are great. I don't even need to bother with Zach Taylor and the Bengals. You get it. If I had one more year Stefanski, I'd be talking up the AFC North a little bit more than I am right now. But I'm gonna go ahead right now with only having the 1 year and pencil them in the third spot here.
Now we get to the final division, the NFC North. You've got the Bears, the Lions, the Packers, and the Vikings. So the Bears, I just don't think much of Matt Nagy, never have. I think if he doesn't deliver this year, he's out of here. We'll see. He's finally got himself a quarterback that he might be able to mold and turn into something. He was saddled with Mitch Trubisky, so we have to keep that in mind. But as of now, I'd have to say that at best, he's a question mark, and at worst, he's a below-average coach. The Lions, Dan Campbell, complete unknown. We can't say anything about him. The Packers, LaFleur's been a little bit divisive. A lot of people think that he's a really good coach. Other people think that in some ways he's a product of what Aaron Rodgers brings to the table. I'd go somewhere in between. I think he's good. I don't think I'm ready to put him above that, but I think so far he's been good. And Mike Zimmer, he's just sort of a middle-of-the-packish kind of coach. He's, to me, the kind of guy that you could fire and not miss, or hire and just have him as a placeholder. He doesn't really move the needle for me in either direction, so I'll just say he's okay. So overall, I would say you have one below-average coach who's a question mark. You've got another who's a good coach in LaFleur. You've got another who's just okay, and another who's a complete unknown.
Yeah, but definitely the leading division of coaches who talk about biting people's kneecaps. They
yes.
definitely lead that division. Mm-hmm. But yeah, this is my, you know, this is at the bottom of the barrel here. Zimmer, okay, fine, but you're not really happy with Zimmer. You, again, could do a lot worse, but yeah, Nagy, and yeah, LaFleur, I think I'm with you. I think he's done a pretty good job there. How much Aaron Rodgers, you know, it's hard not to do a good job with Aaron Rodgers. That going for that field goal at the end of that playoff game, though, is still way too fresh in my mind. Yeah, there's not a lot talked positively about coaches in this division here.
So, Chris, I think looking at this without going 1-8, because that would just be too hard, I would say that the best division is most likely the NFC West. And then I would probably put the AFC North ahead of the AFC East, but you could make a case for the AFC East. Of course, there are variables here because we have no idea what Robert Saleh is going to be. So that's the wild card here. If Saleh turns out to be a really good head coach, that could help turn the tide enormously for the AFC East. But as of now, I would probably say that the NFC West is number one, the AFC North is number two, and the AFC East is number three. And I think Belichick would be the reason that you would flip the AFC East to number two if you were to do that. But again, you do have two Super Bowl winners in the AFC North and a coach who, while the jury is still out, did a really, really good job with the Browns. So I could see you making a case one way or the other, but if you're arguing in favor of the AFC East over the AFC North, it's more or less on the strength of Belichick. Not to downgrade McDermott or downgrade Flores, but if you were to take Belichick down even a notch, I think the AFC North would be the clear winner. But Belichick could be what you would use to sway me in the other direction if you wanted to argue that the AFC East is above the AFC North.
Yeah, it all depends on how we're weighting all these this stuff here. You know, like how many points you get for being the first place of whatever. Because Belichick is going to skew that. If we're going to give true value here, I'm going with AFC East number one. But that's because Belichick's score is so high that Flores and McDermott are enough to pad the stats to before everybody else can catch up to him. Again, if you give me one more year Stefanski, I'm pretty sure I'd go AFC North to jump the AFC East here. But yeah, the NFC West, it depends on how much I'm weighing Belichick, because I can't, you know, I just want to give it all to Belichick. But yeah, that they go three deeper a little bit more. So I NFC West, AFC East, AFC North for me.
That's going to wrap up part two of the mailbag. Make sure to follow Chris on Twitter at CNimbly and at Jets Insider, and read his very big deal work over at jetsinsider.com. And check out everything we're doing over at playlikeajet.com and the Play Like a Jet YouTube channel. Great videos from Luke Grant, including breakdowns of the newest Jet, Morgan Moses, who's going to be the starting right tackle in 2021. Breakdowns of the rookies, Zach Wilson, Elijah Moore, Michael Carter, and a whole bunch of others, plus Pace's playbook, exclusive commentaries from Caleb Pace. That's all available on the Play Like a Jet YouTube channel right now, so go ahead and subscribe if you haven't done that already, and give us a 5-star review on iTunes if you haven't done that already for the podcast. Easy way to help out the show if you like what we're doing. Doesn't take you much time, doesn't cost you any money, but it goes a long way to help us out. So if you could go ahead and do that for us, we'd be quite grateful. And for the latest and greatest in New York Jets podcasts and content, you know where to go. That's Play Like a Jet Digital and PlayLikeAJet.com.